With the recent hurricane, people are doing a lot of cleaning up and rebuilding. And the Home Depot is ready to help. We've brought in extra shipments of the things you need most at the same low prices as always. You can even get special deferred financing to get your home back in order. We're doing whatever it takes to help you do whatever it takes. More saving, more doing. That's the power of the Home Depot. U.S. only, subject to credit approval. See store for details.
We use 50 kinds of fasteners, and if we run low, we need more of them. Fast business.
At Grainger, we know what business you're in.
The more our customers grow, the more we grow business.
The business of getting things done. That's why we offer over 900,000 products and the support you need to get your job done right and on time. Call, click Grainger.com, or stop by one of our branches. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
This paid commercial may not represent the views of Hubbard Broadcasting Incorporated or Federal News Radio. Statements and opinions of this broadcast are solely those of individual contributors or advertisers as indicated. Federal News Radio does not take responsibility for those statements or opinions and accepts no responsibility or liability for any inaccuracy, errors, or omissions reported during this program.
Get ready for Foodie and the Beast with Nikki and David Nellis. A foodie born and bred, Nikki loves dining out, chatting up chefs, and insider industry buzz. David thinks a great meal is a good burger, a frosty brew, and a check for under 20 bucks. Foodie married Beast. And now they have the Food and Wine Variety Show that has everyone talking. From famous chefs, winemakers, and brewmasters to authors, farmers, and restaurant critics. It's Foodie and the Beast, and it's on now.
What? Are we on?
Testing,
good
testing.
Morning, everybody. Welcome back to Foodie and the Beast with David and Nikki Nellis. We got a jam-packed show, but I do have to tell you about some. First of all, this bagel from Georgetown Bakery this morning was still breathing when I ate it. It was delicious.
Still breathing. That doesn't sound tasty at all.
I eat my bagels live. So, very briefly, we got to tell you, because the kids are at camp, which means mom and dad are out.
I'm out. Yeehaw. I don't know what you're doing, but I'm having a good time.
Well, we got a couple places just to mention, but mm-hmm. I want to give a shout-out to the people at Medium Rare up in Cleveland Park. We had dinner there Friday night. It is so much fun.
It is fun. Shout out to Brian Ziffin. We always have a good time when we go with him. He poured me a delicious rosé, which I'm basically taking intravenously during this hot weather. And it's an always fun place to be, but we did, well,
you sound like
an
intravenous alcoholic.
I know, well.
All right. Okay. Call them as I see them.
Have at it. But I did go out a lot this week. I went to a lot of great places. I don't think you were with me for much of it,
actually. No, I got left at home. Wait, why was I at home?
I don't know. Get a life. So I did get to go to Estadio this week. Heider is just doing some magnificent things there in the kitchen.
He'll be on next week, right?
He will be on next week.
Heider Karoom.
And Adam Birnbeck's gin and tonic certainly is cooling on these hot summer nights. Did stop in Bertram Barley, and Kyle Bailey is just knocking the ball out of the park. The food is incredible. Stopped at Rouge. They're doing a new cocktail menu and bar menu there. It was certainly cool to see. And we also stopped by Cork, which was hot and hot happening.
The we doesn't include me. So
we meaning me and my friends.
Talk a little about our show.
Okay, have at it.
Well, listen, many top D.C. area chefs, people like Todd Gray at Equinox or Nick Stefanelli at Bibiana, will all know the answer to the question, where's the beef? For them, it's Creekstone Farms Black Angus beef. And Creekstone's Nathan Stambaugh is in today direct from Meatopia or whatever it was. What is that, what it's called?
Yeah, Meatopia. It's actually an event that happens in Brooklyn every year, celebrating meat in general. They call it the Woodstock of meat, but celebrating heritage beef, heritage pork as well.
All right, well, excellent. We're going to be talking about that shortly as well.
And later in the show, we have Marianne Esposito of Ciao Italia. She's going to be on the phone with us because she's coming here in a couple weeks to talk about this big Italian event, the Taste of Italy. It's on August 4th. So she's going to give us the 411 on that. And once upon a time, Danielle Poe was a human resources executive. Now she's a pastry chef.
Rolling in dough.
Oh, my God.
Thank you.
You're welcome. And she is the founder and owner of Danielle's Desserts. It's a dessert cafe in Tyson's Galleria. She's brought in lots of sweets, which we are going to be digging into later on in the show.
You know, I want to find out how she jumped from HR to CHEF, because I I like that career change thought.
I know, it's very cool.
I'm ready
cool.
right now. We've also got Sean Prince in. I asked. He's not related to Freddie, which makes you a less interesting guest in my eyes, Sean. But Sean's the assistant GM at Jean-Georges J&G Steakhouse in the W, and he's also a skilled beverage professional. And he's in to talk about and pour summer wines from J&G and talk about some stuff they got going on there. And Sean, let's start with you. I think people would hear your title, you know, assistant GM, and not necessarily think that a sort of a business side guy would know his wines, but you do. So, you know, tell us about your background.
Well, prior to Jean-Georges, I was at the St. Regis in D.C. I did the opening with Alain Ducasse, and I had a very good mentor, Ramon Narvaez, who is almost the prince of wine when it comes to D.C.
We know Ramon very
and
well.
I
He's
think
a, good
a
guy.
Lot of people in this room know Ramon very
right.
well. Very,
I know
very
his
well
wines.
Connected.
That's...
Yeah. And he was extremely eloquent and very knowledgeable, knows a lot of the stories behind the wine. So he was a great mentor to me. And prior to that, South Florida, where I was at with Starwood and with Wesson Hotels. So a lot of wine down there as well. But definitely Ramon was a big impact.
Well, so tell us a little bit about the program you're working on at J&G Steakhouse and the sort of wines that you're doing there.
Absolutely. Because we have such a large market of people that come there. We have, you know, businessmen, ex-presidents, so on and so forth.
Well, and we should say, for those who don't know, J&G Steakhouse is in the W Hotel.
I yeah. did say that.
Well, I'm just repeating
well,
it. I've
said it already.
All right, one more time.
But, yeah, the wine program is extremely international, but at the same time very local. So we have, you know, not only far-reaching into France, but as well into Virginia, which is just a fabulous area for wine, and I think a lot of times understated on a lot of wine lists in the area. So we definitely wrap our arms around the local area. And then we have a fabulous half-bottle program, which has gained a lot of traction with our business diners who want to have more than just one glass of wine on an expense account. Half-bottle just sounds so much better on the check.
Well, I got a question for you, because I mean, I'm one of those people, when it's this hot out, I wine doesn't even cross my mind. But there
clearly
are
clearly it crosses mine.
You know, I'm going to get you some help, Amy Winehouse.
Right.
You know, but
that's not
Amy.
Nice.
Well, too soon. Too soon.
Right.
Why was that in bad taste? Well, that's what I'm known for, so it's okay.
Right.
No, but I mean, you brought some wines, and obviously there is a wine program that's hearty and healthy and up and running in the summer. What kind of wines do you serve when it's this hot out?
Well, it's a steakhouse, so we still sell a lot of Cabernet Sauvignon, a lot of reds. People love that with their steaks, so there's always a large demand for that. But
they just
in the
want
summer,
something big?
Yeah, they want big Napa cabs. And but again, with the 122-degree heat index lately, we've been selling a lot of rosé and a lot of sparkling. People feel to as if they're calmed by a little effervescence, so... the first one I brought was Thibaut Janison Sparkling out of Virginia.
It's not the fizz.
It's not the fizz. I've had the fizz, and this is
so
much
this is
better.
Claude's.
Okay. Yeah, Claude Thibaut.
Yep.
We've had
you.
Claude in studio, too. He's a wonderful guy.
All right,
guy.
Well, while we're tasting this, why don't we turn over to Nathan Stambaugh, and let's start from the start with you. You're with Creekstone. It's 100% black Angus. You know, give us a 411 on Creekstone, because I don't think it's a household name here. It is with chefs, but I don't know that it is with consumers.
Sure.
And you didn't bring David a baseball hat. He's going to be really upset.
We've got one out in the truck for you. We'll bring it in.
Okay, Nathan.
Creekstone, it is a big name with the chefs locally, and we're actually reaching out to the consumers so they realize what a sustainable product we have. We are 100% black Angus. There's a lot of programs out there. They call themselves Angus, but really they only have to be 51% black-hided.
Well, can you explain? I mean, for those who don't know, what does black Angus mean? I mean, it's the whole cow is a certain breed. Can you explain that in greater detail?
Great question. It's actually the breed of cow.
I'm the one who asks the good questions on the show, just so you know.
Oh, my God.
It's the breed of cattle. So black Angus is the specific breed, and it's actually known for marbling and fat.
Okay.
So when you're eating a steak, The thing that's going to give you the flavor and the taste profile is the marbling inside. So when you start with a black Angus cattle, you already have said, I'm going for the best steak on the plate.
Okay. So when it's only 51%
well, when
Angus,
it's black-hided, it just
what
means
does that
basically
mean?
Like the wrapping is, it looks like
it's
a
like
black
gold-plated?
Angus.
Sure. It could be. Gold-plated is a great example of it. It could be a Holstein.
I'm getting gold stars left
it could
and
be
right
a
today.
Holstein
wait, Nathan, hold on. I'm on this show too, all right? Good Lord.
We're going to talk about burgers later, Dave.
Yeah, talk about burgers.
And I know they're your
hurry
favorite
up.
Food.
Jeez.
So, you know, it could be a Holstein cattle that had 51% black skin color.
okay.
on the outside. And what's going to happen on the plate is you may have a very good steak one time, and the next time you eat the same brand, you're not going to have a consistent eating experience.
Okay.
Well, I just want to ask a question, because the thing that, you know, I mean, there was a time in my life when literally you stepped on my foot and my mouth opened and I would eat whatever was in front of me.
Are we talking about last night?
Shut up. Nikki has.
What are you talking about?
Well, I'm saying that, you know, I would eat any piece, basically go anywhere and eat any hamburger, any steak or anything. And now I'm even aware of the issue about antibiotics and hormones and all that. And, you know, they've been prevalent in beef farming for decades. You guys are hormone and antibiotic free. You know, what are the pros and cons? Because, you know, how do you protect your cows and keep them disease-free if you're not medicating them?
Sure. You have to start with small farms. I mean, the key to having healthy cattle without feeding antibiotics or hormones is keep them in small family farms. So we actually work with about 100 small farms, so we're able to keep our production numbers up, but in the same time ensure to the customer that it's going to be never, ever on the hormones and antibiotics instead of a withdrawal program.
Okay, well, I want to get into that. But, I mean, one of the things that I think is, when it came to antibiotics, they were just mass feeding them. They weren't treating anything. They were like pre-treating with the antibiotics, right?
It was preventative.
It was preventative.
It was preventative to keep them from getting sick.
Right.
And what the cattle industry is based on regularly is weight. Mm-hmm. So the quicker you can get an animal up to weight, the more money the end farmer is going to make. We look at it the complete opposite way. We want those cattle to be healthy so that we have a consistent eating experience every time it's on the plate.
So with these small farmers that you work with, do you have guidelines that you prefer? With all this grass-fed, corn finished, I mean, where do you guys fall on that line? What are you looking for with your cattle?
Sure. We actually have cattle procurement people inside our organization that go out to each farm.
Mm-hmm.
All the farmers have to sign an affidavit. So the way our program works is never, ever on the hormones and antibiotics.
Mm-hmm.
As far as feed, they're pasture-raised their entire life.
Okay.
And then they do get some corn and grain. As a finish. And we mm-hmm. feel that brings that Midwestern pop, that real flavor to the beef.
Mm-hmm. All right. I got another question. I was reading in your literature, and you say you're something about a withdrawal program.
Well, you mentioned it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, I don't get that.
What that is, and it's really the consumer, the end consumer doesn't realize this, but there is some natural beef programs out there that aren't really, truly, honestly a natural beef program, because mm-hmm. what they've done is they may have selectively fed antibiotics or hormones, but in the last 120 days, they didn't. And they call that a withdrawal program because if you're testing the meat...
Oh, they take them off the...
Yeah, they take them off the antibiotics and the hormones, and then if you test the meat doesn't show any traces of it.
That's
so it's like bike racers.
Sneaky.
It's like bicycle racers who take steroids or baseball pitchers,
right.
And then it doesn't show...
That never happens.
No, I never.
Not
that's
in baseball.
Sneaky. I don't like that.
That's terrible.
And there's no way for you to find out about that unless you really know.
You would have to talk to the actual company themselves and verify whether they were a never ever program or a withdrawal.
Well, now as you came into the DC market,
mm-hmm.
I'm sort of curious how once you started with the different chefs that are here, how do they decide on their cuts of meat? You know, like, does everybody just want a steak? Does everyone want a prime rib? It seems like every couple of years there's like a new cut that's really hot. How does that come into play?
Sure. I think there's two things. One, it's seasonally based,
mm-hmm.
and the other, it's just new cuts and experimenting, because chefs are always going to be passionate about putting something new and different on their plate.
Right.
So right now you're going to see, and the chefs are probably going to get upset with me for saying this, but chuck flap.
Mm-hmm.
It's a great cut. It's reasonably priced, very flavorful. And it's a good alternative to short ribs.
Well, wasn't, I mean...
Why, though? Why is it a good alternative?
Same consistency, but it's boneless. So instead of a chef having to bone out a short rib in his back kitchen,
mm-hmm.
he can use this chuck flap and put it out on the plate at a good price point for the end consumer and still have that flavor profile.
But doesn't some of the sort of proliferation of focus, if you would, on certain cuts have to do with the economy, too? If you're buying a whole cow, you got to get as much out of it as possible. I mean, wasn't there a time when the ribeye was considered a throwaway?
Yeah, or the hanger steak would be another great
which
example.
Is so hot right now. Yeah. Speaking of medium rare, I mean, that's what they're serving.
Yep, you see, and medium rare does a great job over there because they have one option, which is this beautiful hanger steak
mm-hmm.
with the steak frites.
Yep.
And it's really incredible that they can do that. But there was a cut that got thrown in the grind pile and ground for burger, or the butcher would take it home. That's how it got the name the hanger steak, because they'd hang it up on a hook and take it home.
So is it the economy that drove the incorporation of some of these cheaper, you know, what were cheaper cuts?
Less expensive.
It is. You know, they call them value-added cuts because what would happen is the New York strip, the filet, those would go up in price, mm-hmm. and they had to create some other cuts to kind of offset it.
All right, we have to take a quick break, but when we come back, we're going to ask how you work with local chefs, because I know they're very demanding. We want to hear how they're working with Creekstone Farms. This is David and Nikki Nellis with Foodie and the Beast. We're going to be drinking some more wine and talking some beef when we get right back.
Friends, Romans, countrymen, lend me your ears. DC's favorite free theater event is back. It's the Shakespeare Theater Company's annual Free for All, kicking off the theater's 25th anniversary season. From August 18th through September 4th at Sydney Harmon Hall, you can see William Shakespeare's classic political thriller, Julius Caesar, for free. Tickets will be available to the public on the day of each performance. For details on how you can get your free tickets for this year's Free for All, visit ShakespeareTheater.org today.
Why do I serve in the U.S. Navy?
For freedom.
Freedom of religion.
What America stands for.
Why do I serve in the U.S. Navy? For honor.
Everybody. And watch out for everybody.
Freedom to vote.
Democracy.
Freedom to go outside and play with my kids.
I joined the Navy to serve my country.
Every freedom that we have.
The right to raise our kids in peace.
My little brother.
My wife.
My kids.
Our children's children.
The United States Navy.
It's not for ourselves alone that we serve.
When I was young, I fell in love with you. Head over heels in love. I mean crazy in love. I took you everywhere. Parties, barbecues. I even fell asleep listening to you every night. Ah, radio. But now my love affair continues thanks to HD Radio. It's got everything I've loved about radio and more. More local stations, more variety, more value, and HD radios are as low as $50. Talk about a cheap date.
Learn more at HDRadio.com. HD Radio. More stations.
More value.
More of what you listen to radio for.
Welcome to today's lottery drawing. And today's winning numbers are not yours, not yours, and another number that's not yours. And the final number is not yours.
When it comes to having money, don't rely on luck. Brew your own coffee at home instead of buying that latte. Brown bag it to work instead of ordering in. Go to feedthepig.org for more free ideas on how to save.
Feedthepig.org.
This message brought to you by the American Institute of Certified Public Accountants and the Ad Council.
Okay, we're back on Foodie and the Beast with David and Nikki Nellis and our guest Nathan Stambaugh from Creekstone. Where is Creekstone? Are you out in, is your operation out in Kansas and the processing all happens out there where the farms are?
Correct. We've got one processing plant out in Kansas and we pull all of our cattle through there. So everything that's processed there is specifically our meat.
Okay. And, you know, people, I think, with all the E. coli and other issues that have happened, what kind of safety standards do you guys maintain?
Sure. We E. coli test every piece of meat that comes out of our plant that's going to go into a grind. So E. coli happens a lot of times with burger mm-hmm. meat. So before it leaves our plant, we are actually getting a negative read so that when it goes out to our local distributors, they have the assurance that there won't be any issues.
So it's already been cleared. So you already
correct.
Know.
And go
ahead.
No, I was just going to ask, do you ship to consumers? I mean, we order?
We do. We ship via the web. We've got a web store at creekstonefarms.com, mm-hmm. and customers can get it delivered right to their door.
Oh, cool. Well, that's good. And I love that it's pasture-raised. I think that's very, very important. And just quickly, so tell us about some of the chefs that you work with here in D.C.
Sure. Chef Todd Gray was one of the first chefs to bring on our product when mm-hmm. we brought it into this marketplace. We're very excited to work with him at both of his restaurants. Mm-hmm. Brian Voltaggio this year has recently started using Creekstone mm-hmm. on his menu. Nick over at Bibiana, as you mentioned, mm-hmm. A big, big fan of Creekstone Farms, and we mm-hmm. love working with him. And the newest player in town is Shake Shack. We do the special blend. That's all out of Creekstone Farms
beef. That's great.
Here in town and all of their other locations.
You do them up in New York?
New York, Dubai, Kuwait.
Wow.
They're going international now.
You know, we're
going
to be in Dubai next week.
Oh, yeah. So. We'll stop by Shake Shack when we go to Dubai.
All right, let's make sure. Give us the website once more so people can go check it out and order.
It's creekstonefarms.com.
All
excellent.
Right.
Nathan Thank you
Stambaugh.
For coming in
Thanks
today, coming from
us.
Meatopia and giving us the 411 on Creekstone
Thanks for
Farms.
Having me, guys.
Excellent.
All right, so Sean, let's get back to Sean Prince.
What did you just pour? We finished. It wasn't the fizz. What was the name of the first one we had?
The Thibaut Janison Sparkling.
It was delicious.
Thank you.
a good way to start the morning. What is this next one in front of us?
This is the Hirsch Chardonnay 2008 mm-hmm. vintage of Sonoma. Mm-hmm. And I love this wine because it's made very uniquely. They ferment the wine in steel, glass, and oak.
Okay.
And then they mix it all together so they can really craft their own kind of flavor and taste.
Mm-hmm.
And then they also sell it individually. So you can buy wine that's just been fermented in steel, glass, oak, and then mixed together. So it's a pretty interesting winemaking.
That is neat.
And I just love the minerality of this wine. It's extremely, almost effervescent mm-hmm. for Chardonnay. And for hot, hot days when you don't want to have an oaky, buttery char that kind of California gets...
Has a bad
has a
rap
stigma for.
Right.
This is much lighter, much more aggressive on the palate.
Actually, it's funny. When you smell it, you think it's going to be big, like mm-hmm. a California Chardonnay, but it's not like that at all.
Yeah.
It's got a real nice light palate.
Absolutely.
It's great. Okay.
All right. Well,
are we ready for our next
yes,
guest?
Yes, we are. Marianne, are you there?
I am. Good morning. Ciao. How is everybody?
Ciao. Come va? We're going to speak Italian all day.
Oh, so bene, grazie.
All right. So, Marianne Esposito, here's the first question, great question. You've got Martha Stewart, Emeril, Paula Deen, all those others running around on TV. And in fact, you are the host of the longest-running cooking series in TV history, Ciao Italia, on PBS. How did all that happen?
Well, yeah, you're absolutely right. I am under the radar, but we've been there for 22 years. We've just completed our 22nd season.
You're not under our radar, by the way.
Which you can see, of course, on Create on WETA in your area. Mm-hmm. Ciao Italia started... years ago at a very small public television station in New Hampshire, of all places. And, if I told you the whole story about how that started, we'd be here forever. But it started with my very first trip to Italy and mm-hmm. The fact that my grandmothers were professional chefs. My mother was a dietitian. I was a teacher at the time before I became a chef. And mm-hmm. so you know how they say plums don't fall far from the tree. Mm-hmm. Well, when I made my first visit to Italy, the light bulb kind of went on and things just changed around. When I came home, I knew that that was the calling. And so here I am.
Well, so when you started your show almost two decades ago,
yeah.
The palate of America was very different than it is today. How have you seen it evolve, especially when it comes to Italian cooking, and how your show has evolved to go along with that?
Well, what I have seen, of course, first of all, producing a show in New Hampshire on Italian food is very difficult because you didn't have that Italian community base that really understood what you were doing. So it was mm-hmm. really a hard sell to go to the public television station. But once people started traveling more and they wanted to go to cooking schools and experience foods of other cultures, that's when the cooking shows really took off.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to credit PBS because they started the whole cooking school, food cooking on TV genre. But then the Food Network came along, and all of this helped to just pique people's imaginations about what could be in the food world instead of what they were just used to. And
mm-hmm.
for my show, the whole mission of Ciao Italia has been to expand the repertoire of the fact that there are 20 regions in Italy, and each one of these regions cooks very locally. So what most people were used to, just spaghetti and meatballs.
Red sauce.
Red sauce and Chicago-style deep-dish pizza. That was nothing.
Mm-hmm.
That was Italian food. So I like to think that what our show did was become a library of what real regional Italian cooking is all about.
Well, and now that, you know, we in the States are going more local and sourcing local, do you think that with your show that can really be applied, especially as people cook Italian in their homes?
Absolutely. I mean, one of the components of Ciao Italia is that we cook locally from the Ciao Italia garden.
Mm-hmm.
Every season,
Your husband's the gardener, right?
He's the gardener, yes. Gaius.
I wish my husband would garden.
Is the head gardener, and everything you see in the garden is our home garden.
Mm-hmm.
And we grow a lot of Italian varieties. I would say 99% of what is in that garden is Italian. Because I wanted to show people that, you know, food doesn't come wrapped in just plastic containers.
Mm-hmm.
Where does it come from? So we started this 22 years ago. You know, this was in the days of when Alice Waters was saying, oh, you know, local is best. So I like to think that Ciao Italia really was in the foreground then of having people think local, sustainable agriculture. And here we are 22 years later, and we're still doing this very same thing from fork to table.
Right.
Well, I've got to ask you a personal question, because I lived in Italy for a couple of years, and both Nikki and I just travel there as often as possible and love Italian food. Across 20 years and all these recipes and experiences in the 20 sort of culinary regions of Italy, what is your number one favorite Italian thing to eat, and where is your favorite spot to eat it? Because you probably know Italy better than any of us.
Right.
You know, that is a really loaded question.
And don't say pizza, because that'll be a cop-out.
No, but, you know, what I was going to say is I'm really partial to Sicily, because that's half of my culture. I'm half Sicilian, so and I am a real big fish eater. So I would say that swordfish, if I could have a piece of swordfish topped with a really good caponata in Mondello, which is a wonderful fishing village in Sicily, I would be very happy. But
I would, too.
Yeah.
I'll take Taormina. I don't even have to go to Mondello.
But we like
Taormina would be nice, too.
Yes,
but,
it would.
You know, I think what I've been trying to teach people is, you know, when you go to these regions, eat what these regions are noted for. And I kind of make a parallel to what you would eat if you were traveling in the United States. I mean, if you go to Texas, you want to have this big honking steak. If you go to Cape Cod, you want to have lobster. You don't want to have lobster in Texas. People go to Italy.
People do.
And they
just had lobster in Scranton, Pennsylvania. That was interesting.
Right. Well, you know what I'm saying.
Absolutely.
They get them in the sewers.
Right. No, it's 100% right. You should absolutely eat the Italian way in all parts of your life. I think you're
and
right
And speaking
on.
Of which, great segue. Because
yes. You're coming down here August 4th for the Taste of Italy event.
Yes.
It's a chef tasting and marketplace expo. Tell us a little bit more about what you're going to be doing there.
Well, I'm going to show up on August 4th, and I am going to do a demo, and I'm going to actually be cooking with someone. Someone's going to have a chance to be a chef with me for a day, because it's going to be one of the auction items.
Right. In fact, you can auction for that right now. We actually have it on the website, so if people are interested in cooking with you, what are you going to do? What are you going to make them do?
Well, it's a surprise. Doing a couple recipes from my latest cookbook, which is Ciao Italia, Five Ingredient Favorites. So every recipe in the book only has five ingredients. And I'm going to do a seafood dish, and then I'm going to do a really interesting tart with Nutella and mascarpone.
That sounds terrible.
you know, Nutella is to Italy what peanut butter is to America.
I know, and it's just a little bit better, too, don't you think?
So I'll be doing that, and then that's going to be followed by a book signing. So I'll be doing a book signing.
And what will you be signing? Because you have 11 books. Are you going to be signing all of them?
I don't think so. I think I'm going to be signing probably my most current one, the Ciao Italia Five Ingredient Favorites.
And aren't you working on a new...
I have a new book that comes out this October.
And what is it?
It's called Ciao Italia Family Classics. It's more than 200 treasured recipes from three generations of Italian cooks. My two grandmothers and my mother, and then me.
Oh.
Where do you find time to do all this?
I get up early. You know, you have to, when you're a chef, you need to prioritize. You have to do several things at once. So I enjoy the process of writing, and of course, whenever I'm in Italy, and I'm always taking groups to Italy as well to cook in different cooking schools in Italy, I get a lot of inspiration from where I am. And
my husband's rolling his eyes. He's like, why aren't we going to Italy?
Well,
you can't. Come on. You guys can come. This year's trip is full to Umbria, but you can always go to the website, ciaoitalia.com, and check out what next year's offering is going to be.
That was a very smooth plug. I like that.
I'm used to this.
Clearly. All right, Marianne, so now when you come in on the 4th, your husband is coming with you. He's getting in on the act. So tell us what he's going to be doing here.
He is. Actually, my husband, Guy, is a physician, but he's also the head gardener, and his hobby is Italian wine. So at 5
o'clock... It's a good
hobby.
He's a Renaissance man.
He's a Renaissance man. He's going to be giving a lecture on Italian wine. So if there is anyone who's interested in that, they should sign up for this, because Guy demystifies all of the, you know, the aura surrounding wine that people may be just a little bit leery about asking questions about. So I think it'd be a nice opportunity for them to get to know him, the other half of Ciao Italia.
Right, exactly. And are you going to be bringing any goodies from your garden?
Well, I don't know if they'll let me do that going through security, but...
Mm-hmm. Oh, well, you probably have a good point. Well, you know, we have wonderful farmers markets here, so maybe you'll get an opportunity to pick from the produce there.
I can just see them saying, watch out, the zucchini's loaded.
Okay. We have to take a quick break. Do you mind just staying on the phone for just a second, and we'll be right back with you? This is David and Nikki Nellis with Foodie and the Beast. We are talking Ciao Italia, and we're also sipping some wonderful California Chardonnay. We'll be back in just a sec.
Ciao.
How can I keep my child healthy during flu season? My teenager's always online. How can I be sure he's not into something harmful? Parents Perspective has the answers. Sundays at 4 p.m. on WFED 1500 AM. Designate Parents Perspective 44415 with a generous donation in the combined federal campaign or online at www.parentsperspective.org. Thank you for helping Parents Perspective work for you.
I love my husband, but I didn't realize our difficulties had to do with his drinking. Our pastor suggested I go to Al-Anon family groups. I didn't think I would be comfortable, but I decided to try a meeting. The Al-Anon meeting really opened my eyes. Are you troubled by someone's drinking? You might be surprised at what you could learn in an Al-Anon family group meeting from people just like you. Call 1-888-4-Al-Anon.
There is a watchmaking standard that is revered around the world. That standard comes from Rolex. From clasp to bracelet to its unique watertight oyster case, a Rolex holds its value because it was intended to. Crafted from just three precious metals, platinum, steel, and gold, each defies the ordinary. Its steel, 904L, virtually indestructible and corrosion resistant, is incomparable. Its patented Everrose Gold, created in an exclusive foundry, will remain beautiful for life. Inside, a genuine Rolex movement is a product of superiority and remarkable testing. It is unrivaled. At Rolex, flawless standards create more than a watch. They create a value that was meant to endure. For a complete selection of Rolex timepieces, visit your official Rolex jeweler.
See what a new watch can say about you at Tourneau, the world's largest watch store since 1900. Tourneau, the fashion center at Pentagon City, Arlington.
Hi, everybody. We're back on Foodie and the Beast with David and Nikki Nellis and with Marianne Esposito of Ciao Italia. Marianne, are you still there?
I am.
Oh, good.
Did you have fun listening to our commercials?
I did. I want one of those watches.
Okay, for you.
For you,
I'll
anything.
So I just want to wrap up real quick the talk of Taste of Italy. It sounds like a very cool event. It's co-sponsored by Maserati and Ferrari of Washington.
And they're going to be there. There's going to be Maseratis.
Cars will be there, yeah. And Dolce Gelati will be there, and there'll be food samplings and all that. So obviously, si mangerà bene, si?
Tutti mangia bene.
Everybody's going to eat well. But I want to ask about, you know, your new book and that whole process, because I think from the consumer side, we see people that, you know, it looks like people are just pounding out cookbooks. Mm-hmm. And I don't think anybody really understands the kind of research that has, even when you're talking about your own family recipes. What did you have to go through to pull all that together?
Wow. Well, I was lucky in the sense that my mother kept very detailed notes in these just, you know, black and white little composition notebooks. And so I have all of her old recipes. And, of course, I would ask a lot of questions. I knew that before everybody passed on that I wanted to hear their stories. So over the years, I have collected this information because I was privileged enough to live with my maternal grandmother. So mm-hmm. My maternal grandmother lived with us. So, you know, she would tell all the stories. And there are a lot of interesting stories in the book. This is not just a cookbook. It's a story of the love and reverence that these three women had for Italian food and how they wanted to preserve this for future generations. So I became, I'm now the messenger for this. So I say that this book is my tribute to them and everything that they've taught me. So lots of questions were asked. The fact that I was able to, you know, my grandmother lived with us and that I had these notebooks just kind of embellished everything that I brought to the cookbook.
Well, you know, after you put the book out, maybe we'll have you back on the show so we can talk more about the recipes.
Well, let me ask this. Were they all Siciliani? I mean, is this 200?
Oh, no. Because, these recipes, I'm half Sicilian and half Neapolitan.
Oh, so you get the whole...
Yeah, so the whole thing.
There's a real strong emphasis on Southern Italian cooking, but also a lot of the recipes in here are my take on other regions of Italy, the Piedmont and you know, the Veneto and So there's a mix of lots of things in here, but primarily its focus is on what these three women have given, and I have been able to help preserve.
I have an awesome idea for you. Pick a recipe that will be necessary for the three of us to taste in Positano sometimes. Can you do that for me?
Yeah, sure, I can do
that. You're so nice. After all these years, I just love you. All right, everybody, it's Marianne Esposito from Ciao Italia on PBS, and you're going to get a chance to meet her and maybe even cook with her.
Get on that auction.
On August 4th.
I'm tweeting about the auction right now, so if you want to cook on stage and be a part of the demo with Chef Marianne Esposito, now is your moment to do that.
All right, Marianne, thanks
Thank
for joining
so much.
Us.
Thank
and
you.
Please,
ciao,
as soon as...
Ciao, tutti.
Ciao, grazie.
Grazie a voi.
Bye-bye.
Okay,
all right.
Sean, I haven't even had, like, another sip of this, and you've poured something else. Tell me what we've got going on here.
So now we move over into France.
Yay!
And we go to...
We leave Italy and we go to France. This show is just no fun.
And this is a Meursault out of the Côte de Beaune. Mm-hmm. And the difference between this Chardonnay and the one prior is that this one has an elegance to it, mm-hmm. a feminine elegance that's just incredible. So you mm-hmm. will get notes of butter in this. It's much more delicate, light fig, almond, and just a really very regal old world approach to wine.
Mm-hmm. So, well, there's a lot of fish on the menu at J&J. So is this what you're pouring? I mean, are people drinking whites? With the meat?
Yeah, a lot of times we get a lot of dates, especially Friday, Saturday, and the gentleman will often task me with, can you find a white that will pair with both her fish and my steak?
Oh, he's like throwing down the gauntlet on
and
a date?
So, yeah, so I need
no,
to...
No, it's because he has no idea what to say, right? No, not you.
No,
Bring me some Boone's Farm, boy.
Yeah, as long as you have a Chardonnay or something that's bold enough and has a structure to hold mm-hmm. up to a filet mignon or a New York, you can pull it off. And that's also where I can go to my half-bottle program, because you can start them off with a white and move
right.
them into a red.
How big is your half-bottle program? I mean, how many half-bottles
it's
do you
have? It's about half a bottle.
I would say we have about 25 half-bottles on the list. Yeah.
And is that, I mean, you just don't see them at that many places around the city. I just don't think a lot of people carry them. Are you one of the few restaurants that do?
I would say you either have a large amount of them or mm-hmm. you have a very low quantity. And mm-hmm. it's one of those things that you really do have to prompt the guests. They're not going to ask for the half bottles. They're going to start with a glass or go for a bottle. And a lot of times you have to introduce it to people. And they're very welcoming of it.
I know, but I don't think there's a lot of education on it. I think people think if it's a half bottle, it's a cheaper quality of wine. Like, do a lot of the better wine producers create half bottles?
Absolutely. It's okay. a fabulous way to get high quality wine that you can almost pour by the glass. If you have a very, very high quality wine, you're never going to pour it by the glass because mm-hmm. there's no way to make money on it. But
right.
half bottle, it's not a major commitment for the guests, and they can try some incredible half bottles.
Interesting.
Right.
Okay.
I just want to break in with a quick commercial for myself, because I know that my wife doesn't think I'm funny at all, but Andy and Nick and Jeremy, they're all laughing because they're all 13 years old,
they're
too.
They're not laughing at
they're
you.
They're laughing
I mean,
with
they are
me.
Laughing at you.
No, they're not. So back off, baby.
Okay.
All right, let's bring in Danielle.
She's here.
Danielle, well, I meant like
I
into the
meant.
Conversation.
I got it.
All right, Danielle.
Yes.
Here
Hi.
We are.
Hi.
Welcome. You
Thank
were
you.
An. You were. A
we
human...
like when people come with treats.
Yeah, where's the? We gotta get some forks. But
they're right in front of your face.
You were. Yeah, I'll take the big one. You were a human resources executive.
Yes, I was.
And you were bored stiff.
Well, why did you tell her how she was feeling?
No, I read. No, but now you're a pastry chef and owner of Danielle's Desserts in Tyson's Galleria, which is a very, you know. Posh, elevated, she location.
It
How
is.
Did all that happen?
Wow. Well, first I want to say I wasn't quite bored stuff. Just I don't want my former employer.
Right, you don't want to offend anybody. Worked.
I lied.
Right.
I'm the kind of employee she never would have hired.
Right.
So how did it happen? I can tell you, David, that 25 years ago, I knew I was going to be doing
What,
this.
When you were like four?
No. Thank you, though. Flattery gets you
I'm
everywhere.
I'm looking for some free cake.
No, yes, I can. You've got it. So I knew I was going to do this about 25 years ago because mm-hmm. I liked to bake, and I always knew I wanted to have my own business. And I thought, you know, to have a business where I'm actually creating the product and selling it on the spot is what I want to do. It took me 25 years to get enough courage up to actually do it. And I had to wait till my daughter was grown and out of the house. I had to wait.
You have a
grown
daughter?
Oh,
wait
yes.
till these people
I have
see
a
you on TV.
As well.
Really?
Wow. I have a grandson as well.
God.
You know, Nikki's a grandmother, too.
I have a grandson, too.
You know,
oh
what? You know what? There's some hot grandmothers running around. Well, we'll just change the show to The Beast. And
grandmothers are not what they used to be, no, that's for sure. So anyway, it took me 25 years to get up enough courage to do this, and it was funny
because... But was this the idea that was rummaging around in your brain? I mean, you knew you wanted to do a bakery?
Yes. And so it was really about 2 years ago, maybe 2.5 years ago, time flies, that I said, you know what, it's time. Mm-hmm. I'm not getting any younger.
Right, and the economy was great. I mean, what a time to go out and start a business.
You did this in the middle of an economic mess.
Yes, I did.
How hard was it to get it up and running and you know,
and what about the capital? Did you need a lot of capital to launch it?
I did need capital. It was not easy to get up and running because I had trouble getting the capital.
I bet.
And I never did get it, so I really had to come up with an idea that allowed me to think about how best to start small.
Are you the person that's been robbing banks with that bag?
That's me. Right.
We'd like to do it with you. Yeah.
With the pastry hat.
Do you need help? It would be like Jim Carrey and Jay Leone.
That's me. So somebody advised, well, why don't you start small? So it's funny because I thought, okay, well, I'll start with a cart in a mall, or I'll start with a kiosk in a mall, and... From there,
I
started.
That does not sound small to me.
But you're in one of the most high rent malls in the city.
Well, the way I ended up there is a heck of a coincidence. So I was meeting with different mall managers, and they were saying, okay, well, this is what it's going to cost. And, you know, and it was going to cost a lot more than I thought it was. So forget starting small. Mm. So anyway, I finally met with an individual that was affiliated with Tyson's Galleria, one of the most prestigious
malls,
fashion retail malls in the country.
Yes.
And so that person said, you know, we have a spot for you, and we've been wanting to put a business like this in that spot. That's how it happened.
Really?
Did they already have the kitchen facilities there for you, like up to code and all that?
The space was up to code for the most part. I brought in all the equipment and set it up the way I wanted to. I had the counters built and all of that. But by and large, the space was pretty ready.
All right, well,
that's amazing. Well, I want to talk about how you came up with what you were going to serve.
Okay. My niche is down-home Southern style. And it's funny because people walk in and they say, oh, you're from the South. Actually, I'm not.
I'm going to grab a fork and find out what your niche is.
I want some of that strawberry.
Okay.
Sure.
Go for it.
Delicious.
No.
We're going for the blueberries. That's a blueberry buckle.
Do you want to get this on film?
There you go.
That's a blueberry buckle, and you took a nice big bite.
Because that's what he does.
Yes.
Okay.
And the blueberry buckle is made with, you know, everything is made with a lot of butter, sugar, brown sugar. That one there has a cinnamon crunch topping on it.
I thank you and my cardiologist.
You know, it's funny because we had a cardiologist come in one day, and I said, wow, should you be here? And he said...
Moderation.
I know your customers keep me in business.
Right, exactly. Moderation's less important.
Moderation.
Did you have a menu in mind, or as you opened, you were like, no, I want to do more cake, I want to do more pie? I mean, how did you come up with your menu, and what's on your menu?
Sure. Well, we have a variety of cakes, pies, squares, cookies, all kinds of things, and miscellaneous types of desserts like the blueberry buckle.
Can you put it down over here when you're done?
No.
Yes. And probably you want to turn that around so that the front of the dessert...
There you go. She knows how to display her desserts. Absolutely. That looks great.
Okay, so I have a variety of things here. I have three different kinds of cakes. The things I have on that platter happen to be our best sellers.
Okay.
And so you tasted the blueberry buckle, one of our hottest sellers. I also have two pies on there. One is a real summer seasonal pie.
Yes, this one looks like summer and seasonal right here.
Yes. Well, that one is year-round. It's a pecan coconut chocolate chip pie.
Oh, my God. Pecan coconut chocolate chip.
That one, greedy. That one is nice heated with the little whipped cream and a swirl of caramel sauce. Ooh. Nikki, you're tasting the strawberries and cream cake.
It is delicious.
I just want the camera crew and Andy to understand that I will be putting a fork in every one of these, so you're not going to want them.
Sean, if you want some, you better get over here.
Fortunately, we have a few extras in the kitchen.
So where are the recipes from? Yum. Did you play or make them up?
The recipes are my own. My mom taught me technique when I was growing up.
Okay.
But the recipes are my own.
Mm-hmm.
I've been developing them for years and years. And literally, I've made some of these, at least before rolling them out in the shop, I made them hundreds of times and just tweak them over and over and over.
But what about, what was it like, I mean, with a bakery, you're not making it just for your family or for a party.
No.
You're making it, you're making a lot of it. So
That's
how did
right.
you learn to up the recipes?
That was, that I
trial
learned,
and error?
That was through trial and error. That was learned pretty much on the job.
Mm-hmm.
And fortunately, I mean, the Tyson's Galleria is not a really busy mall. And so we started out a little bit slow.
Okay.
I mean, the customers have discovered us, so things have really picked up. But I had time to play with, okay, now I'm doubling, now I'm tripling.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Now I need to make sure I have 20 pie crusts
waiting. I
mean,
waiting. Is it basically just buying a good calculator? I mean, do you multiply it that way, or is it
more or less? You
out?
Have to know your math.
Oh, that's
you definitely
have to know
your, science. To know your math.
I mean,
and you have
a
to
lot
know
of
your
science
science.
Involved,
that's right.
You know,
that's
baking
right.
powder and rising.
Exactly.
You know, you need to know what you're doing.
You really do need
yep.
to know that. So mm-hmm. it really was
you
through trial and error.
It's delicious, but
thank
get it
you.
Away from me.
Thank
right.
you.
So we've got to take a break, right?
Oh, okay. Yes, we do. All right. We're going to talk more about the kinds of things that you're baking up there
okay.
and what people can expect when they come into your bakery.
Okay, that sounds good.
This is
good.
David and Nikki Nellis mm-hmm. with Foodie and the Beast. We also are going to talk a little fashion, not the Tyson's kind, a different kind, mm-hmm. when we meet back.
Hey, this is Mike Rowe, and I'm not wearing my jeans right now. In fact, I'm not wearing any pants at all, but more on that later. Did you know that 1 in 8 women will be diagnosed with breast cancer in their lifetimes? As the celebrity ambassador of Lee National Denim Day, it's my job to let you know that you could help us change that number by donating what you normally spend on a pair of jeans. All you have to do is go to denimday.com, enter an amount, and click donate. It's that easy. And look at that, we're out of time. Looks like you'll just have to go to denimday.com to find out why I'm half naked.
The Bethesda Central Farm Market, you guys, is awesome. They close off Elm Street in Bethesda every Sunday from 9 to 1. They've got 40-plus vendors with everything from local organic produce and meats and poultry and breads and coffee and chocolate and olive oils and cheeses and more. It's really unbelievable, and it's free parking, which I really love because, you know, I'm cheap. So go and check it out because we go there every week. We get fresh fruit and veggies and berries from Twin Springs Farms, a lot of great organic produce from Bending Bridge Farm. The guys at Walnut Hill have free-range eggs. There's cheese from Cowgirl Creamery. We always stop into Poupon Authentic French Bakery and also Upper Crust Real Hearth-Baked European Breads. Mm-hmm. I'm telling you, it's an amazing assortment of vendors. So go to Bethesda Central Farm Market every Sunday from 9 to 1 in Bethesda on Elm Street. They close the street off so it's easy walking around. And if you want to know more, go to BethesdaCentralFarmMarket.com. If Foodie and the Beast tell you to go, it's good.
Federal News Radio is a proud partner of FEA, the Federal Employees Education and Assistance Fund. In the past 25 years, FEA has helped more than 21,000 federal families with over $18 million in aid. By donating just $1 per pay period, you can help federal families keep the lights on, clean up after a natural disaster, or send a kid to college. Keep your CFC dollars in the federal family and make your pledge to FEA 11185 today. Learn more at FEA.org. That's FEEA.org.
All right, we are back on Foodie and the Beast with David, Nikki Nellis, and Danielle Pooh of Danielle's Desserts. But before we get back to Danielle, I just quickly want to thank the people that make the show possible. Our good friends at Georgetown Bagelry, the single best bagels
in the D.C. metro area.
In America. And if you're ever over on River Road near that Whole Foods, you got to stop in there because their stuff is awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Neighborhood Restaurant Group, Rustico, Birch and Barley, Tallulah Vermilion, and especially our buddies over at Planet Wine in Delray, a great, great wine store.
Absolutely.
Founding Farmers, lovely restaurant down on Pennsylvania Avenue, Farmers and Fishers over mm-hmm. at the Georgetown Harbor, and Notte Bianchi Dish Circle Bistro,
mm-hmm.
the folks at Modus Hospitality, Charles Schwartz and Son Fine Jewelers. We got a jeweler. And Bethesda Central Farm Market. That's right. I'm wearing jeweled underwear today, courtesy of Charles Schwartz and Son. Thank you, Paul, Pastor, and Dan. Danielle, let's get back to you. I guess you guys were talking off camera.
Well, we were. So were you surprised? Did a lot of people ask for gluten-free?
Yes.
Was that a surprise for you?
Not so much. I knew there would be requests and requirements for special kinds of desserts.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it would be the sugar-free first and or vegan first, but the gluten-free is what we were getting the most of in mm-hmm. terms of requests. So.
Not a Southern baked good specialty.
No.
Right?
No, but we did develop, and I wish I had brought a gluten-free offering today.
Well,
we developed a death by chocolate flourless pie that's gluten-free. We also have some coconut macaroons that are gluten-free. Mm-hmm. And so it seems we've satisfied the gluten-free craving.
Good.
The next thing I'll be working on is vegan, some vegan offerings and some sugar-free offerings.
So vegan just means without eggs and without
dairy,
right?
You
no
just
dairy.
Lost right. me. Right
yes.
there.
Yes, and we're
it's
talking
hard.
No
it's
butter,
hard to
no
do,
eggs,
right?
No milk.
No butter.
Yes.
I don't know. Do you think gluten and the word glutton have anything to do with each other? I don't know.
Didn't think about that.
But no, I don't think I'd get a laugh, but I like that.
Okay, and so a good friend of mine who told me about your bakery said you do this one special treat that is just delicious. She's obsessed. And I hate to say it out loud because it sounds kind of dirty. But
Well, this is what we were wondering. They're called cake balls.
Yes.
And
yes.
we were wondering how you get their legs apart.
Well, just for anyone who does not know what a cake ball is.
You're not even drinking any wine and you're laughing at that. It's so sad.
Danielle, when she leaves me, I'll be calling. Probably tomorrow.
Right. So the cake balls started in Texas. I can't take credit for those, but and they're really just reaching the East Coast. There are a couple of establishments here that carry them on a pot. And what they are really compressed balls of cake. And what that means is you take a cake, icing and all, and compress it.
So like would you take your strawberry cake
That's
or your
right.
caramel cake and you would just mush it together?
Yes.
Should we do it?
No,
we can.
David.
But then,
David,
I do believe
alone.
He's about to do it.
No, I'm going
to
do it. Why the hell not?
Because
why
we don't
this
have the,
is ready. Come
because
on.
Because you don't
well,
have the chocolate to dip
ready.
It into. David. Oh, yeah. My God.
Let's see.
That is...
And then what do you do?
Okay, so what you do...
Eat it like an apple?
No, no, not quite.
What
you do is you put it in the fridge, let it firm up, and then you dip
oh,
it
Oh, I thought,
in.
Wait a minute. All right, everybody, now this will be a first for radio. Nikki's going to lick my fingers. Come on.
I was trying to warn you before you picked it up.
Thank you.
Okay, then you dip it. Now, it tastes good that way, does it not?
Oh, yeah?
Then you dip it in... some vanilla or chocolate coating.
Okay.
And you sell it like that.
Why didn't you it's say about... that faster?
I was trying.
You didn't do a good job.
Yeah, no, so no. The cake balls are usually a little bit smaller. Now, because some people are concerned about how the name cake ball sounds, some people call them cake truffles.
Okay,
that sounds
cute.
A bit more distinguished.
It's a little more refined.
Right?
Yes, absolutely. Yes.
It sounds extinguished.
Okay, so...
so we've been playing with those. I didn't bring any today because
okay.
we're still experimenting
David just
with
made
those.
One.
I know,
seriously?
He just made one.
We're going to have a food fight later.
Oh, my God.
All right,
okay.
Well, Danielle,
that would work well.
Let's make sure everybody knows where Danielle's desserts are
okay.
in the Tyson's Gallery. We're not talking Tyson's Corner Center.
Right.
This is the Galleria on
Tyson's
International Drive.
Tyson's Galleria. We're on the third level right next to Saks Fifth Avenue.
Oh.
Good location.
Ooh. Yes,
get
yes.
some shoes,
and
get some cake.
You're going to get down-home Southern-style desserts. We use butter. We bake everything fresh right there. You can watch us, and that's what we have.
And excellent. Should I announce that I've signed on as the cake ball maker?
You're hired.
All right. Well, thanks very much. Where are you online? Because I'm sure you got a website, too.
Sure. www.daniellesdesserts.com.
And you're on Twitter.
Yes.
And if you can't spell
Facebook.
Danielle or desserts, you don't deserve to eat this
right.
food.
Oh my God.
All right. Well, thank you for coming in.
And
thank
for bringing
you.
All your delicious
thank
desserts.
You. It's a
let's
pleasure.
Get back to Sean Prince.
Sean, we
now.
Have a lot to cover with you.
Let's get to the refine. Give me a wine bottle to schmush up over there.
Well, in front of you, actually, Nikki has already gone through the Pinot Noir.
I
but,
know. It's
really Goldeneye Pinot Noir. This is an ace on our list. We serve it by the glass, and... it's,
ooh, it's
probably
good.
Our sexiest okay. Pinot Noir that we have. I mean, it's just really that true cherry flavor you go for, a little bit of spice, and that silky finish you hope to get in any Pinot
And how
Noir.
Much is it a bottle?
I believe it's 76.
Okay. And what do you sell it for by the glass?
$2 million.
One-fourth of that. So
okay.
She's the math person.
Right.
Sorry.
Okay, sorry.
Just,
we're asking difficult questions on a Sunday morning. All right, but you guys have a lot of promotions going on.
Sounds like $4
on.
To me.
At J&G Steakhouse. And... in the tasting room downstairs, which I love that little tasting room.
It's a great spot. And it's been exceptionally busy lately because it's nice and cool in the cellar.
Oh,
so
I bet.
Everyone's been seeking refuge in there during this heat.
So week. the sips.
Sips and Bites.
Sips and Bites. That's down in the tasting room, yes?
Absolutely.
So tell us a little bit about that.
I love the Sips and Bites. It's a selection of small little plates from the chef, off the full menu mm-hmm. with a tasting of wine to pair along with it for $8 a plate or three for $20. So you can get three plates and
that's
essentially almost three glasses of wine.
Right. Okay. Interesting.
For $20.
That's a very good deal.
And we pour GoldenEye there. I mean, we pour good juice, as mm-hmm. they say. Down there.
Can we get a reservation for 115? Well, you guys, I saw it somewhere in one of the notes you had. You're starting basically a to-go program, right?
Absolutely.
That's upstairs.
Yes. That's well, we'll cool. be executing that. You call Monday through Friday, anytime between 12 and 2, and in under 20 minutes, we'll have a lunch prepared for you.
I mean, is
ready
it,
to go.
Oh, it's for lunch. It's lunch.